Sky Sports Radio loves talking racing. The people, the jockeys, the horses. Time now for Punter's Postmortem. Analysis of the weekend's racing, plus your calls. Welcome to Punter's Postmortem.
Yes, good morning, everybody. Welcome to a different edition. It's always a bit different on the eve of the Melbourne Cup because on Punter's Postmortem with Ron Duffacy, Dean Lester and the Tabs' Glenn Munsey, we always go through the runners for the Melbourne Cup, and we'll be doing that this morning to help you into backing the winner tomorrow. Ron Duffacy has made his way into Melbourne for Flemington Racing over the next few days. Morning to you, Duff.
Yeah, good morning, Andrew. Geez, where do we start this morning? You know, like some of those magnificent performances on Saturday, the Coldings and the exceedances, and obviously this upcoming Melbourne Cup is intriguing. Hard to work out, but intriguing.
It certainly is. And as I say, good morning to Dean Lester. What about the class of the three-year-olds there in the Coolmore on Saturday, Dean?
Yeah, it was a great race, Andrew. It was a terrific derby too, but Exceedance and Bivouac, they've with Yes Yes Yes, have stood themselves apart. Libertini was honest behind them, but those three colts, the two we saw on Saturday, and Yes 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 are the main players.
And also in Melbourne is Glenn Munsey for the week ahead. Morning to you, Muns.
Oh, good morning to you, Andrew. Good morning to Dino and Ronnie. Haven't seen you for about an hour, but good morning to you. And
where'd you seen, by the way?
I'm down at breakfast, Andrew. Okay. Just, you know, a bit of birch and muesli, an omelette, kale shake. And I didn't catch him in the gym this morning, but he was evidently gone through. I tell you what did happen in Sydney on Saturday. Ronnie, there was, we've said it before, a really good vibe at the races. There was a stack of people at Rosehill Gardens. They voted with their feet. And I can tell you, they voted with their wallets because it was a really, really good punting day. And they absolutely, completely stripped us out at Rosehill Gardens.
Race after race?
The last five races, absolutely horrific. The last race out was, I thought Amangiri was bad last Saturday. Well, it went past Amangiri like it was nailed to the fence.
Outrageous.
It was more than outrageous, Andrew.
It was $6, Duff, on Wednesday.
Five
on Wednesday.
Yeah, it ran $2.40, I think. Mm. Yeah. The multi-roll was terrible. And the cheer when it hit the front at about the 75-metre mark, I would have lifted the stand.
Unbelievable.
The roof off the stand.
I could hear it from Cranbourne.
Sounds like everybody was on the Hawks runner. Outrageous. Duff, let's talk about the Golden Eagle. And Glenn brings up a point there about the western suburbs and the emotion of Chris Waller after the race. We know that it's pretty easy to get Chris emotional, but I think it was that extra little feel of he'd won the local race.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, they got Chris's advice about this race, where he thought it'd be supportive. And like I say, it's a big local race for Rose Hill, and it was very well supported. We did get a very, very hot field. And we got a very good horse that won it as well. He picked himself up after being held up. And firstly, it was, you know, we all thought it was just going to be on from the outset. But, geez, they got to the, after a few hundred metres, they put the brakes on there, and there's all sorts of carnage as far as horses grabbing the bit and wanting to rush. So, you know, it's always an advertisement of everyone overreading maps and thinking it's going to be too quick, and it slows up. But the best horse won. Gee, she was terrific, Sunlight. She did her connections proud. She was outstanding there. And little Mizzy, we know she does that all the time, has a go. And the biggest shock of the race was Bohemoth, a little $9,000 purchase who's picked up 380 or something. And that's a story in itself as well. And Arcadia Queen, well, she's just got to be in a bonnet. That's not the style we're used to seeing her, of charging up and clipping heels and carrying on. And I know it's easy to make excuses for her again and be shouted down, but just read the steward's report and you'll find out that she had no luck.
She nearly fell.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And when that pace slackened off, I mean, you mentioned there were just horses, jockeys thinking what was going on out front. Luke Curry, Dean, as you watched it, what were you thinking there after she came across?
Well, I loved the tactics that he didn't rush across. He used the whole back straight to get there. And when he got there, the speed had come out of the race, so he just joined in, just kept it as slow as he could, and then kicked off the bend. I thought he gave her the great chance to, one, run the trip, and two, win the race, and she all but pulled it off.
How good can Colding be, Glenn and Ron and Dean? I mean, we've seen it now, the Epsom, we've seen it in the Golden Eagle, goes for a little break, and who knows, Duff, what 2020 could bring?
Well, who knows? Exactly right. He's produced in winter. He's produced in spring. He's untouchable as a gelding. He could be a weight for H horse. He could be the next weight for H horse over the mile because, he's going to get up in the weights now that he's won a few good races. But Chris will place him perfectly. I'm wondering whether he's going to get further than than a mile. So that'll be his greatest chance.
Yeah, and being a gelding, we're going to see him for a couple of years.
Exactly.
What do you think, Dean? I mean, you're just watching it on the screen. How impressive has he been, particularly the last two wins?
I even go back to the previous win before the Epsom because he beat Fierce Impact and that form's tremendous. And what I love about him is his desire to win. I mean, he just pins the ears back and really has a go. And that's what he needed on Saturday when things were going wrong. He needed to burst through and really lay the ears back, and that's exactly what he did.
Bossy again, Glenn. I mean, he's come back to Sydney off Singapore, and he's just reminded everybody at his peak he's so good.
Yeah, and you look at that race on Saturday, and probably a rider without the, and Bossy's a very big confidence rider.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. You look at when he straightened for home there. He got knocked down or stopped for a run three times. Mm. Now, most jockeys would have probably gone, drop their bundle or whatever, but Bossy just, he knows that situation. Mm. I tell you what, I reckon he would have had in the back of his mind, he's already been suspended for cutting Brett and Abdullah in half the previous week, and he probably said to himself, well, I can't do it again, I can't do it again. But he tried and then he got knocked down, And then if you have a look at the helicopter shot, He's level with, I think it was Acadia Queen.
Yep. Yep.
And then he just powers through.
Yeah.
And
once it opened.
Probably two lengths off Sunlight at that stage.
Yeah.
And when he got ground, he just flattened out and picked her up easy in the finish.
Oh, it was an amazing win. On the morning, we were wondering whether Behemoth was going to run Duff, and here it is running home for fourth.
Yeah, it's incredible, isn't it? And I had a little query on him at the distance as well, so a couple of distance queries have really run well in that race. So, I think it's good for the race that the form line stood up. You had the Epsom win form running first. You had the second filly out of the Everest, the third third and fourth out of the Silver Eagle. So those three form lines come together, and there was no definitive answer really.
On that, beat Le Bon. What did you think of the International, the first home of them?
He was good. He was very, very good. He was powerful late. He was never a winning chance, but I thought he did a good job, being strong late there.
Dean?
Yeah, no, I was just going to ask about the Internationals. I thought he was pretty good, what they brought to the race and the future of them going forward in this race.
Well, I think they'll learn from the experience. Mm. Obviously Aidan takes his A-team to Melbourne, and we haven't seen much of Aidan's horses, really being competitive here in Sydney. We saw Antilles there doing nothing, and, I'm still trying to work out why it went up $4 early in the week. And I don't think Never Know More did a great deal there as well. So, I think it'll... Now that it's out there, and they see this big carrot of the four-year-old, maybe it's time to set a better style of international horse for this race.
Classique legend, just talking with the team yesterday, just felt a bit flat, obviously, out of the Everest. What did you think of the others, Duff and everyone here? Brutal, the inevitable?
Yeah, look, Brutal... The prize he took no part, or he was waiting for the sunlight situation to unfold before he made his move. But he was still disappointing, and that's what nearly bought Colding undone, because once Bossy saw Brutal's back, he thought, oh, this is gold. But Brutal didn't take him into the race when I Am Superman come around the outside. So, and the inevitable. He just found. He wasn't tough enough or big enough to handle the buffeting and whatever went on in that race. That was a pretty rough-house little race there where jockeys were racing tight, speed was slowing, and horses didn't get into rhythms.
All right. From a punting point of view, Glenn, the way you're talking about here, the wins of Miss Invincible, Tally, Colding, Parata and Outrageous were all winning races. The win of Parata in the Red Zell to you, Glenn.
Well, he just goes to show what a good horse he actually is because, you know, things didn't pan out completely for him. We had pre-race change of tactics that he was going to be
more
pressing forward. But, he took his time. But he just kept, just working into the race and the further they went, the better he went. And just goes to show you what a good horse he actually is.
Be interesting to see, Ron, if they take him to Hong Kong for the international meeting.
Well, there's so many options for a horse like him. You know, do they want to keep him up doing that or do they want to have a crack at, maybe Royal Ascot? Gee, Royal Ascot's going to be strong with Australia. We'll have to think about doing the show from there this next year, Andrew.
We'll have to start thinking about it.
Yeah.
I agree. Mm. I agree wholeheartedly. I think we should be there for at least a week.
I thought you were agreeing that Parata.
Oh, there's no I in team.
No, there's only two of us can go, and there's one seat left. So you work it out. Right. You work it out.
Oh, well, when you've been left out, Dean. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. And didn't even get a look in.
No, I had you there, Dean. I had you there beside me. Yeah.
Oh, good. Yeah. Okay. I'm with you, Andrew.
The others can carry the luggage. How good is Parata coming off, the Everest, the tough Everest stuff?
He's very good. No, his greatest asset for a stallion is his attitude, laid-back sort of horse. He's a cool dude, and he's adaptable. And look, I was a fan of the ride. He rode him like the good thing he was. It didn't exactly turn out the plan, but he was always in touch and in a rhythm. And, I think it was the right way to ride him. If he would have just went back and played the percentage game and thinking he's too good for him, things could have turned uglier than actually what they were. Because I don't know whether he's got the sectionals from back in the field of a Deprive or a Trekking. So he made his advantage getting his lead on him early, got balanced. And even though he covered ground, he was always in control.
I was wrapped for Aaron Bullock. He comes to town, rode Lure Remain. This hunter's starting to set up with some high-profile horses here now.
Yeah, I reckon. It's going to be better than I thought, the hunter and the gong. Just hearing little bits and pieces what horses are still up and going and want to go to these races. So that's encouraging. There's a horse to follow out of this race, Kapajak. He's not ready yet, but he's not far off being ready.
Okay, so Dean, what did you think of the Red Zell?
Yeah, look, Parata was the class runner, and that's how it proved. As Duff said, he stayed out of trouble. Thought Trekking was good, maintaining that form. He's had a busy month or so, but he raced well, and I'd agree with Kapajak. I thought it was a very nice run.
Just before we move on to Flemington, and of course we're going to go through all of these Melbourne Cup horses as we do on the Monday prior. One of the biggest stories of the weekend has been the rain around country New South Wales in some parts. I know some parts didn't get any, but for the areas that did, Duff, I was watching it last night on social media and people dancing in it literally and sliding across in the mud out there at Burka. For some areas, it's been a terrific weekend.
Oh, yeah, fantastic. I saw Burke got 90 mils and I think it was Canamble or Coonabarabran got a lot of rain, so they needed that like no other. So let's hope it continues, and there's a chance we might, break a little bit of the drought.
Yeah, let's hope so. All right, let's talk about Flemington on Saturday, Dean. We've spoken about Exceedance and Bivouac. Just on the softish ground, did that go against Bivouac at the 200 or not?
He put in a funny stride there at about the 150. So I sort of thought he half bucked a little bit, but and it changed leg and certainly changed the rhythm of his stride momentarily. And
Think he was beaten anyway?
I think the other horse was going to get him, but as we mentioned earlier, there's not much between the three of them, and they've all picked up big spoils this spring. Bivouac winning a Golden Rose, yes, of course, the Everest and Exceedance now winning the Coolmore.
It was something we've been waiting for Exceedance to do, and he stepped up on Saturday.
Yeah, it wasn't how I envisaged him winning it. I thought he'd be just zipping down the centre and winning, but Dwayne Dunn, when he got that check at the start and he looked up ahead at what he could follow, he ducked back to the inside and followed Bivouac and Libertini, and it was the winning move. It was a very, very good move.
Yeah, it was a very smart ride. Very, because he can do that at the start, Exceedance, and I was watching Dunn and I thought, geez, what are you doing? And then I thought, oh, look where he is, though.
Yeah, he's following the right horses.
He found his numbers, his colours, and where he wanted to be.
Mm.
Libertini was good, Duff to run third. What about this little run of Lil Cotra to run fourth at big odds?
Well, she just never runs badly. He ran well in the Blue Sapphire and backed it up on Saturday. That Blue Sapphire form, Lil Cotra and Brooklyn Hustle were around the money in that race, and they've run fourth and fifth probably. Thought Cosmic Force might have given a bit more, Duff. He was there at the 300, and I had him loosely in that group of good colts, but he gave ground pretty quickly.
I think they were so confident that month going into that race, the Snowdens and Connections, and Peter doesn't get it wrong like that.
No.
I think he's better than that, and I think they expected him to really challenge those good colts on Saturday. But I think he'll go back, they'll look over him, see if they can find anything, and don't give up with him in the autumn, that horse.
Just from an Oaks and point of view, Miami Bound winning the Wakeful and Vegas Jewel, they fought it out, got a long way in front of the third-placed horse. Are these the live chances in this Oaks now, Dean?
Yeah, I think Moonlight Maid as well, who's run in the Vase, was very good to Soul Patch, who ran well in the Derby. So I think you've got to respect her. Miami Bound's been my Oaks filly for 2 months. I wavered a little bit after her last run, but... It's a funny race, that race. Thought of that, got them off the bid early, and she was one that struggled, and even to an extent, Warning did a touch, and he turned it around on Saturday, and as did Miami Bound. So I think, the two that you've mentioned, Miami Bound, Vegas Jewel, Moonlight Maid, Gamay's the other one from the Archie Alexander stable. But it's shaping up as a really competitive race.
Well, Miami Bound was top of the market for the Oaks for quite a while.
Yeah.
Kill Caulfield. We'll mention Downdraft when we go through the Melbourne Cup, but Dean, how good and guys was Melody Bell?
Melody Bell for mine was the run of the day because horses weren't doing that, making that looping run at Flemington on Saturday. They were winning a little bit off the rail, but not that far off, and she was just arrogant the way she just rounded them up. She went past good horses at the 300 like they were just tied to the rail.
I think we all knew she was a very good horse, but... The thing in the back of my mind going into that race is how many grand finals has she had? Mm. But boy, oh boy, she just keeps lifting the bar and savaging the line. A fantastic performance, a fantastic performance.
And that was her ninth win on a soft track, and she's 2 for 2 on heavy. So she's now had 16 starts on slow and heavy tracks for 11 wins and a third.
Yeah, but there were some good wet trackers in that as well outside of her. Yeah.
I think some of us, I'm not saying all of us, but some of us didn't know what to do with her, Dean. It was one of those where we see her win regularly in New Zealand, but can she do it here? But she was one that actually did it differently on Saturday, coming from well off the pace.
Yeah, she did. And we saw some of her weight for age wins. She was beating horses that we know here, like even though they're males, like Windspell, and they're just handicappers. But, against the mares, and ridden in that fashion, she was absolutely dynamic.
It was a Freedman Quinella in the Victoria Derby, but they weren't related or aren't related. Anthony Freedman beating Mitch Freedman from Ballarat with Southern Moon, but just for us, Shadow Hero just got a fair way back to run 15.
Yeah, look, I thought at about the 600 he was just coming into the race like he was going to win, and one stride later he was just paddling, like floundering in the ground, whether it was as he was turning, and well, he's got beaten a long way, but when he went out of shot at about the 400, I thought he was going to run closer to last. So I just don't think the ground suited him, because I thought he had pretty much the right run until then. He might have been a pair too far back initially, but he crept into the race nicely. But no sooner that he came off the bit, he couldn't accelerate. But Warning couldn't, and won the race at the start, really. I had him probably midfield or a bit worse, but he began so well. Damien Oliver went to plan B and just put him straight up outside the lead and then let them work around him, which is what you do in the Derby, and then just come to the centre, and he was too good. Southern Moon, thought Billy Egan gave him a good ride. He ran on well. Soul Patch had the right run. He was always going to get that run. And they were over four lengths ahead of Relucent, who battled on okay, but the first three were cleared right out.
I see they scoped Shadow Hero after the race and found an internal problem with him as well, whether you want to add that to the list as far as the wet track and the internal problem. Maybe we all know he's better than that, but it's disappointing, really, for his supporters on the day.
Yep, he had the OPH and Viridine in the first. He was another one that had that on Saturday.
Yeah, Dino, a couple of weeks ago, you sort of, you know, signalled the fact declaration of war, that, you know, the sire of warning, how he's siring some really nice stayers. Well, what about Puissance de Lune as a stallion now?
You just wanted to say his name again, please.
You know, he's actually thrown some nice, handy staying types.
Yeah, he's going very well, and I don't think it's a shock, really. I mean, it's complex, the breeding, Kay, because he didn't win a Group 1. I think he was four or five times Group 1 placed. And he is a very good horse and had a great turn of foot for a middle distance horse. I think he'll really make the grade. And he's at bargain basement at the moment. He's about 8,800. So he's good value for these staying sort of horses.
Mm. The horse that won the first on Friday night at the Valley, so
yep.
Wants to learn. The one and that
Moonlight,
ran off the track.
Moonlight yeah. Maid Moonlight in the Oaks on Thursday.
Yeah. Mitch Friedman loves Puissance de Lune.
Well, he looked after him.
Yeah, looked after him.
Yeah, that's how I met Mitch. So yeah.
What about Matty Smith? He had a winner at Moonee Valley Friday night in the sprint race, the 9.55, and then he went back and won a Group 1 again with Fierce Impact, Duff.
Yeah, he's going well with his string, isn't he? He's placing them beautifully, and Fierce Impact, he just got that turn of speed and a brilliant ride, I thought, by Williams from that draw to get cover, present at the right time, and get the job done. 50 stars, nearly got it the job done. He just loves the sting out of the ground, doesn't he, 50 stars. And Custodian looks a work in progress. He's he didn't look right in Sydney. And then James says, let's just give him a trip away, just give him that for the autumn. So expect a better horse from next time in with Custodian. And it's just been the story of his whole prep night's watch. He just has nothing go his way.
No,
he had a couple of winners yesterday, Matty Smith, too, didn't he, at Goulburn?
Yeah.
It just goes to show you do a good turn for someone, it'll come back and pay you because... Danny Williams did a turn for Shane Brunton on Saturday when the float broke down. Danny Williams jumped in his truck and drove out to pick up the inevitable off the M4.
Yeah.
He had a winner yesterday at Goulburn, so you help people out and you get repaid.
For people that may not know, Wendy Roach had a float ruined. Tyres slashed five of them, and then the axle was grinded away that once, if the float had been moved in a normal fashion, then there would have been one hell of a drama. So Matt Smith gave Wendy his float, and off they went to Melbourne. So it was a great little story around Matt Smith particularly. And Dean, I know you're linked with 50 Stars. I think you're still looking after Jerry's horses there?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, you tipped it on Saturday morning that you were expecting a really good run.
Yeah, he was, the preparation was aimed at this race, and we counted back from there. And he hasn't quite hit the mark through the spring. The wait for age was probably a bit good for him, and I don't think the Epsom really went right for him. But Saturday he got his chance, and as Duff said, the soft ground suited him. So he'll back up in the McKinnon this Saturday.
Okay. The Oaksfield may be out by the time we finish. We'll wait and see. But we are going to take a break, and then we're going to look at tomorrow's Melbourne Cup. We'll go through all of the runners. We'll be joined out of the break by Liam O'Keefe, the track manager at Flemington, because in Melbourne there has been rain in the last 24 hours again. So we'll get to Liam, and we'll go through all the runners here on Sky Sports Radio. Let's get the latest with Matty in sports.